Okay, ready when you are.
Okay. Count me down.
So, 3, 2, 1.
Thank you very much, and I want to commence today's programme by thanking the United Synagogue, in particular Rabbi Michael Leitner, Richard Verber and David Nielsen, for making it possible for us to share these kinot with the wider community as well. And I think throughout the day, the United Synagogue has a very meaningful and inspirational program planned so that people can study and learn and really feel what Tisha B'Av is all about. During the course of the next couple of hours, we're going to be studying some of the kinot and some of the themes associated with Tisha B'Av. Certainly, Rav Soloveitchik explained that one of the key concepts to do with Tisha B'Av is a notion of really understanding what the Avelut is about. Why is it that we're going through these actions of mourning and Avelut? What is it we're supposed to be thinking about? Indeed, why is it that we say kinot after the service in the morning on Tisha B'Av? Rav Soloveitchik explained that in actual fact the kinot are what he called a kiyum, a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Avelut on Tisha B'Av. Otherwise, if we didn't say the kinot, we'd simply go through a few actions, we'd sit on the floor for davening, and that would be it. And we wouldn't really appreciate what we're mourning and why today is the saddest day in the Jewish calendar. That there are some study packs which are available on the United Synagogue website, www.theus.tv/kinot, and people can download that to be able to follow along as we're speaking and learning this morning. And also, the order of the kinot that we're going to be saying is also available in PDF form on that website for the benefit of people who don't have their own books of kinot. So I also want to mention at the outset the inspiration for this Tisha B'Av program. Really, it was Rav Soloveitchik who 30, 40 years ago innovated the notion of studying the kinot properly and thinking in depth about the themes of the day. Perhaps in earlier generations, people were able to understand the words of the kinot and understand the themes much more clearly than we're able to. But he really turned it into a day of studying the Avelut Yishana, the ancient mourning that we have here, even though there's a prohibition against Talmud Torah, prohibition against studying Torah on Tisha B'Av. Nevertheless, it is permitted to study Dvarim Haraim, to study the things which deal with Jewish tragedies throughout the ages, and we do that so that we have a keener understanding and a keener appreciation of what Tisha B'Av is all about. In more recent years, Rabbi J.J. Schachter of Yeshiva University has had lengthy webcasts on Tisha B'Av which deal with themes of the day, and I found much inspiration from listening to them over the years. And my own late father, Alav HaShalom, always studied the kinot himself, and indeed I looked after his passing in his kinot book and found notes that he'd made over the course of the years on the various kinot and themes and the passages in the Gemara dealing with the Churban HaBayit, and that also inspired me to take the study of the kinot very, very seriously, really to enhance my appreciation of the day. During the course of the morning, I want to read together with you a number of kinot and also study a number of themes. We're going to be studying this morning 6 themes. We're going to be looking at the Issur She'elat Shalom. I always start on Tisha B'Av morning with a short shiur on themes to do with Avelut and the morning of Tisha B'Av. We're going to be looking today at the prohibition against extending greetings to friends and acquaintances on Tisha B'Av. We'll also consider the question of why was the Beit HaMikdash destroyed and the notion and concept of Sinat Chinam, of causeless hatred. We'll be studying and learning about the martyrdom of Rabbi Chutzpit the Meturgeman, the translator who was one of the Asura Asara Harugei Malchut, one of the 10 martyrs who was killed by the Romans, that's for studying and teaching Torah. We'll be considering the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. will be having a historical discourse about the blood libels, and will also be remembering the Kilot HaKodesh Shemasru Nafsham, the Kilot HaKodesh, the holy congregations that were destroyed during the time of the Shoah, and mourning them as well. That's probably at about 10:30. We'll take a short comfort break for a few minutes and then resume. So I want to start today with the question of Sheilat Shalom, the prohibition against greeting people on Tisha B'Av. On page 3 of the handout, we have the first source is from the Shulchan Aruch in Orach Chaim, Siman Taf Kuf Nun Dalad, Seif Kaf, which reads as follows. Ein Sheilat Shalom L'Chaveiro B'Tisha B'Av. One's not allowed to greet a friend or acquaintance on Tisha B'Av. And people who are unlearned, and they greet you mistakenly. You come into shul and they say, hi, nice to see you, whatever it is. Then meshivim lahem b'safa rafa. Then we respond to them b'safa rafa, that's in a somber tone, uvakoved rosh, and with a sense of seriousness about us. We don't greet the return their greeting warmly, but instead of, oh, lovely to see you, we have a good morning. That's polite and quiet. That's the chief rabbi, that's on Sunday as part of the Vayichan program, spoke about the prohibition against Sheilat Shalom, against extending greetings on Tisha B'Av, and made the observation, and this really was the theme of his shiur, made the observation that by having something absent, we come to appreciate it more. We come to appreciate its value. That's often we take greeting people as just a matter of course. That's we see somebody, we either nod at them or we don't nod at them. That's we don't take it overly seriously. That's when today we have to consciously abstain from greeting other people, then we realise that's how valuable a greeting to others is. So how is it that we know that on Tisha B'Av, and indeed for an Avel, for a mourner, that Sheilat Shalom is prohibited? That's the prohibitions of Tisha B'Av are in general learnt out from the prohibitions of Avelut. We find that the things that an Avel is not allowed to do, the Gemara tells us, are also prohibited on Tisha B'Av. Sheilat Shalom is prohibited to an Avel, so it's also prohibited on Tisha B'Av. So let's begin with the question of how do we know that Sheilat Shalom is prohibited to an Avel? So the Gemara in Masechet Moed Katan that tells us that Avel Asur B'Sheilat Shalom, that a mourner is not allowed to greet anybody. Because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yechezkel, when the prophet Ezekiel was mourning for his wife, that's Hehanek Dom, he was told to be silent. That's, and this is a, if you like, a characteristic of an Avel, a characteristic of a mourner, is that they're unable to say anything. They can't express their emotions clearly, and they simply withdraw from engagement with society. Greeting other people is a form of engagement with society, and one of the characteristics of Avelut is that we don't engage with those who are around us. In actual fact, Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch explains that many of the practices of Avelut are there to demonstrate and illustrate how it is that we're not interested in the rest of society, and we've retreated perhaps into an awareness of ourselves and withdrawal from everybody else. That's why the Avel doesn't take any interest in his personal appearance. He's not allowed to shave, not allowed to cut his hair, not allowed to wash himself. That's why an Avel has an Issi Yitzia Mipetach Beito, that an Avel, if a person's sitting shiva, he or she is not allowed to go out the house because they're not integrating in any sense with society. And the Issur Sheilat Shalom reflects that as well. So there are a number of dinim, a number of applications for this Issur Sheilat Shalom. And let's look at the Gemara in the third perek of Moed Katan. Perek Elu Megalchin is one of those chapters that we're allowed to study on Tisha B'Av. And the brighter there in Daf Kaf Aleph Amud Bet says as follows. Tanu Rabbanan. So the rabbis taught. Avel shlosha yamim harishonim asur b'she'ilat shalom. That for the first 3 days of mourning, the first 3 days of Shiva, an Avel is not allowed to greet people. Mishlosha v'ad Shiva, from the third day until the end of Shiva, meshiv v'einu shoel. So if a person extends a greeting to him or her, he can or she can respond, but they can't initiate a greeting. Mikan v'eilach, but from that time onwards, so after Shiva, shoelu meshiv kedarko. Then an Avel is allowed to extend and respond to greetings in the normal way. So the Gemara says, Shlosha yamim rishonim asur b'sheilat shalom. Is it really true that an Avel is not allowed to engage in sheilat shalom for the first 3 days? V'hatanya, but we've got a brighter, which indicates differently. The brighter says, Ma'asev ha-meitubana shal Rabbi Akiva. It happened that Rabbi Akiva's children died. Nichnasu kol Yisrael v'hispitum hesped gadol. And everybody came, and there was a great eulogy for them. And b'shap, a great memorial service straight after they died. B'shap tiratan, and when everybody was ready to leave, Amad Rabbi Akiva sasal gadol v'amar. Rabbi Akiva stood up on a bench and he said, Achenu beit Yisrael shimu. My brothers, house of Israel, listen. Afilu shnei batanim chataneim. Even though my two sons are great people, menucham hu bishvil kavod shasitem, I feel comforted because of the kavod that you've given to them. Very often a mourner, when they look around at the Shiva, at the Leviah, and they see the number of people who've come to pay tribute to the person they're mourning, they feel comforted by the fact that so many people feel sorry for them in this way. And during the course of the past few months, when Leviahs and Shivas have been very much contracted in terms of the number of people who are able to participate, I think this is something that people have lost out on very, very significantly, that, and they haven't had that support and that sense of consolation from knowing that people are there with them. On the other hand, I have heard people say that in actual fact, the concept of a Zoom Shiva has actually brought in a much wider circle of people, and even people abroad who wouldn't normally have been able to share their condolences in a semi-personal way have been able to. V'imishvil Akiva batem, and if you came because of me, then hare kama Akiva bashuk. There are quite a lot of people like me around. You know, I'm nobody special. This was Rabbi Akiva. Of course, he was special, but he was very humble and modest and said that he didn't feel that he was anybody special. And Akach Amartem, clearly what you said was, Torat Elokav Blibo, that's the reason why we think that Rabbi Akiva maybe is somewhat special, is because he's absorbed the Torah of Hashem. V'chol Shekein Shescharchem Kaful. And therefore your reward, you've comforted me and you've mourned my sons, so your reward should be double. L'chu levateichem l'shalom. So go home l'shalom. Go home in peace. So what we see here is that Rabbi Akiva did extend greetings to others. So we just said that at the beginning of the Braita, that an Avel's not allowed to extend greetings for the first 3 days. And we see that Rabbi Akiva, that said, L'chu levateichem l'shalom, first night Shiva, house was packed, and at 9 o'clock, he stood up on a chair and said, L'chu levateichem l'shalom, go home in peace. So how can that be? So we answer, Kavod Rabim Sha'ani, that this is something which is Kavod Rabim. This is something which reflects Kavod, respect and dignity and honor for the community. And therefore, that's permissible. As an aside, I often find when I go to a Shiva house that I speak with the Avelim, I maybe lead the service, I say a few words, and afterwards, very often the Avelim say to me, I know I shouldn't say this, but I want to say thank you. So I'm not sure where it comes from, this notion that you shouldn't say this. I think an Avel can say thank you. What we have here is a prohibition against She'ilat Shalom. against extending a greeting, against, we're going to discuss in a little bit about what it means exactly, Shalat Shalom, what type of greeting we're talking about, but it seems to be to do with saying Shalom. Saying thank you, that's is certainly, I think, permissible. That's politeness is always allowed. I don't think we ever have a halakha that one mustn't be polite. And in any event, we see a notion here, that model here, that Rabbi Akiva extended even Shalat Shalom to others out of a sense of dignity, politeness. And therefore, I think certainly that to say thank you to people who've helped you at a shiva is permissible. So we say Kavod Rabim Sha'ani, in any event, that giving respect to the tzibur, to the community, that's going to override the prohibition of Shalat Shalom. Mishloshad Shiva Meshiva'inu Shoel. So we said, during the first 3 days, an Avel isn't allowed to engage in Shalat Shalom whatsoever. After the first 3 days, Meshiva'inu Shoel. So a person doesn't know that they're not supposed to greet the Avel, then the Avel is allowed to respond, but not initiate a greeting. So the Avel's sitting there, sitting shiva, and somebody comes in and says, "Oh, hello, Sadie, so nice to see you." So Sadie is allowed to respond, "That's thank you, also nice to see you." But they're not allowed, when the person coming in to greet them, or to visit them, they're not allowed to say, "Ah, that's Shulamis, or whatever your name is, lovely to see you." Mikan ve'ilach, but after the shiva, sho'elu meshiv kidarko, they can extend and respond to greetings in the normal way. Or a minhu, but the Gemara says, we've got a contradiction. Hamotzeh chaveiro avel, a person who encounters a friend who is in avelut, betoch shloshim yom, during the first 30 days, medaberi motanchumin ve'ino shel bishlamo. You speak in a, you offer words of comfort, but you don't extend greetings. La'achar shloshim yom, and it's only after shloshim she'ol bishlomo ve'ino medaberim otanchumim, that you flip the coin round, and that after shloshim you extend greetings and you don't extend condolences. Meita ishto v'nasai shacheret, that's, and if a person's lost his wife and he's remarried, that's, this is a topic for another time and a sugya elsewhere, but the question of when can an avel remarry, that, or get married, and in actual fact we find in under certain circumstances that an avel is even allowed to get married straight after the shiva. That's, so what if a person loses his wife and remarries immediately after the shiva, so he's still within the shloshim, Meta ishtov and asai shacheret, Eino rashai li kanes leveitol adaberi motan chumin. You can't go into his home and extend condolences. Remember, it's during the shloshim. You maybe haven't had a chance to extend condolences during the shiva, so you want to go and extend condolences. It's not polite. His new wife is sitting there, to go in and say, "Oh, I'm so sorry about the loss of your wife." You might be wondering, why is it that, how could it be that the person will be getting remarried, 7 days, 8 days after the loss of his wife? Isn't this very insensitive? In our context, of course it is insensitive, but perhaps in a more ancient context, maybe not. Perhaps the person's wife had been very, very ill for a very long time. And perhaps he's got young children who need caring for, and perhaps he's marrying a sister-in-law or a cousin who knows the children well. He just needs to create some stability in his home life. In any event, you've got to have some sensitivity. Don't walk into the person's house and say, "Oh, I'm so sorry that your wife died," when the new wife is sitting there. However, Mitzahol Bashuk, if you bump into the person somewhere else, then you can extend condolences in a somber manner. So what we're seeing here is that the prohibition for Shalat Shalom lasts for longer than just 7 days, but extends for the entire Shloshim Yom. So Amar Ravidi Baravin. So Ravidi Baravin explained as follows: Hu shol bishlom achirim, sha'achirim shruim b'shalom. As far as initiating greetings is concerned, the Avel is allowed to extend greetings to others immediately after shiva, because they are, other people are shruim shalom, other people feel happy, they're in a peaceful frame of mind, and therefore it's not inappropriate for him to extend greetings. However, achimim ein shalim bishlomo, other people aren't allowed to extend greetings to an avel for the entire shloshim, shehu einu sharu bishalom, because the avel isn't, in a sense, a state of shalom. For the entire shloshim, the avel is disturbed and miserable and unhappy. But the Gemara says, v'hamidtani meishiv, michlal d'shalinanei. So hold on a minute. If we're saying that during shloshim, the avel can respond to greetings, then obviously somebody's greeted him or her. That's, you don't respond to a greeting if nobody's extended a greeting to you. So how can it be that the avel is responding to greetings if nobody, if it's prohibited to extend a greeting? So the Gemara answers, d'lo yade, must be that the person extending the greeting either didn't know that the person's an avel or didn't know that you're not allowed to greet an avel. They think you've got to go into a shiva house and be nice to the avel. So they go in and they say, oh, shalom aleichem. That's, they want to be nice to the avel. They want to extend condolences and a blessing. So in that case, the avel can respond. Ihachi hatam nami. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, then we should allow it even during the first 3 days. So we answer, hatam modalahu. During the first 3 days, the avel has to let them know that it's prohibited. V'lo mahadelahu, and doesn't respond. Hacha, but beyond the first 3 days, lo tzarek lo duinhu. Then he doesn't need to let them know that it's against the din to extend greetings. So then again, the Gemara says, Raminhu, we've still got another contradiction. If you find somebody else, you bump into a friend in Avilut, this prohibition against Sheilat Shalom extends actually for the whole 12 months of Avilut, not just for 30 days. And during those 12 months, you extend condolences rather than Sheilat Shalom. But after the 12 months, then you extend greetings rather than condolences. But you can make a reference to the person's avilut. If you haven't seen them during the 12 months, you don't say a full hamakom yinachem etchem, and oh, I'm really, really sorry to hear about your loss, and it must be very painful for you. But you say in a more casual way that, so I haven't seen you for the past year, but I did hear your father passed away, very sorry to hear it. Something like that. Amar Rabbi Meir, Hamotzeh chaveiro avel lachash 12 chodesh mudaberi motanchumin. And parenthetically, Rabbi Meir says, a person who extend condolences to a person after 12 months, the mahu domeh, what might we compare it to? La adam shenishbara raglo v'chaita, to a person who breaks their leg, and then it's healed. And then a doctor says to him, hey, kalachitzli, shani shofrava erpa'ena. Come to me, you know, I can break your leg and reset it. So that you know that I'm also a good doctor. I've got good plaster casts. That's meaning that after 12 months, a person has more or less come to terms with their avelut. They've moved on to the next stage of life. They might still miss the person that they've lost, but not in the intense way that one does during the 12 months of mourning. In any event, what Rabbi Yemeir is, what this bright is telling us, is that the Issa She'ilat Shalom extends for the whole 12 months of Avilut, not just for 30 days. So we started off by saying that the prohibition applies for 7 days, then we moved on to say it applies for 30 days. Now we're saying actually it applies for 12 months. So how are we going to square that? How are we going to reconcile it? So the Gemara says, Lo kasha, it's not a problem. Haba vivimo, habsha krovin. In one case, we're talking about mourning for parents, and the other for other relatives. The avilut for parents extends for a full 12 months. For other relatives, there's only a notion of shloshim, only a notion of mourning for 30 days. After 30 days, if a person loses a sibling or a spouse or a child, they might well feel sad for much longer than 30 days, But the formal rules of Avilut only apply for 30 days. However, the loss of a parent is much more significant halachically, and the prohibitions of Avilut apply, many of them, at least, or a number of them apply, for a full 12 months. So therefore, we say that for the 12 months, there's a prohibition against the Sheilat Shalom. So Hatam Nami Daberim Otanchumim Min Hatzad. So if that's the case, then for other relatives also, that after 30 days, any tanchumin, any condolences that we express, should be more muted and a little bit concealed. So we say in Hachinami, that's true. And for other relatives, you can extend to relatives in a more oblique fashion. So what we find here is, to summarize, during the first three days of Shiva, an Avel is not allowed to, you're not allowed to greet an Avel, nor is the Avel allowed to respond to any greetings. And if greetings are extended to him, he shouldn't respond. During the rest of the Shiva, it's still prohibited to extend greetings to an Avel, but the Avel can respond if a person doesn't realize and extends greetings to him or her. That's beyond the Shiva, an Avel is allowed to extend greetings to others, but they're not allowed to greet him or her, but the Avel can respond. And then after the Shloshim, there's no prohibitions whatsoever if one's mourning others than parents. But for parents, the prohibition against extending a greeting to an Avel applies for the entire Yud Beit Chodesh, extends for the entire first year of mourning. So one thing that people sometimes don't realize is that actually saying, we'll discuss in a moment what is included in this Sheilat Shalom, but certainly saying Shalom Aleichem to a person is prohibited under these rubrics. So therefore, you see a person who's in Avilut, you haven't seen them for a while. Maybe you have a person who lives in Israel, they come back to England for a stone setting or something like that. That's 6, 8, 10 months into the Avilut. You see them in shul, you haven't seen them for a long time. Usually you'd say to them, Shalom Aleichem. That's in this instance, you'd need to say a different greeting. Baruchim Habayim. That's welcome. Nice to see you. But Shalom Aleichem is certainly going to be prohibited. So the Shulchan Aruch in Yoradea, that's Simon Shin Pei Hei, Sif Aleph, summarizes these halachot as I've just said them. But the Ramah adds in one or two further details which are of interest to us. So the Ramah says, quoting from the Rambam, and I've underlined it, the Ramah says, U'me'achar she'asur b'she'ilat shalom, seeing as it's prohibited to extend greetings to an Avel, kol she'kein she'asur l'habot b'dvarim. So certainly, you're not allowed to speak at length. An Avel isn't allowed to engage in extensive conversations. Because this whole, we're now reflecting what the mindset is of the Issur She'ilat Shalom, what the motivation is for this prohibition. And the motivation is, at least in part, that one should have a sense of a certain withdrawal from society. And obviously, if you're sitting Shiva and you're chatting to people for hours and hours, so then you've engaged with society rather than withdrawn from society. This is a challenge that we often have when sitting Shiva. Lots of people come to extend condolences. Very often it's people you haven't seen for a very, very long time. And you want to engage with them, you want to talk to them. But in actual fact, that's contradictory to the ruling here in the Shulchan Aruch, and one should try and limit discourse somewhat. That's really what it means is, you can talk about the niftar, you can talk about the person who's passed away. That's meritorious, and that's really what Shiva is all about. That's people come in and share memories of the person that you're mourning with them. That's if they knew the person, ask them to share memories that they have. If they didn't know the person, then share your memories with them. That can be something which is very, very meaningful. But to talk about the cruise that you've just been on, or ask them about their summer holidays, or all the Gantz and Mishpacha, or something like that, is not entirely appropriate. So that's an important observation about the halachot of Avelut, and also about Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av also, there should be limited conversation. We shouldn't be chatting with people about all sorts of things under the sun. Then the Rama says, importantly, nowadays, some people are lenient about extending greetings to an Avel after Shloshim. Vein tam lahem, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. In lo sheyichalku lo mashe zem mashe anu korin shemashe anu nagim lo mikrei sheilat shalom shebi mehem. So the Rama says it doesn't really make sense to say that after Shloshim we can be lenient and extend greetings to people, because the Gemara makes no such distinction. And in actual fact, the Gemara says that very clearly that the prohibition against sheilat shalom extends for the full 12 months. So the Rama says, unless we say that what we call Sheilat Shalom isn't classical Sheilat Shalom, that's V'ayim Baruch Chaim Simen Pei Tet. So he's referring us to Halakha in Orach Chaim, which deals with Hilchot Tefillah, and tells us that on a regular day, a person's not allowed to say Shalom Aleichem, Sheilat Shalom is prohibited. That's before davening. The first person, as it were, not person, but the first being that we extend greetings to in the morning should be our Kadosh Baruch Hu, not our friends. And there's some discussion, what exactly do we mean by Sheilat Shalom? But in any event, it seems, and on the next page I've got the Avnei Nezer, who discusses this as well, that what it boils down to is it seems that saying Shalom, using the name of Hashem, Shalom is one of the names of our Kadosh Baruch Hu, using the term Shalom when you greet a person is very, very significant. It's bestowing a bracha on them, a bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless them with all sorts of peace. And that's inappropriate before we daven. The first thing that we should be doing in the morning is davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for our most basic needs. And then we go on to bless other people. And likewise with Avelim. That's the person who's in Avelut. It's not appropriate to say to them that's Shalom. That's you should be blessed with tranquility and inner peace. That's not where the Avel is at this point in time, and therefore that's what's prohibited. But saying hello or good morning to an Avel is not prohibited. And nevertheless, that's the Magen Avraham in Hilchot Tisha B'Av, and this is quoted also by the Mishnah Berurah. That they say that on Tisha B'Av you shouldn't even say good morning to a person. That you should have no engagement of that nature whatsoever. And what it seems that we say in practice then is that during Shiva, that you shouldn't greet an Avel in any form. That you shouldn't say hello to them or anything like that. But after Shiva, certainly after Shloshim, we can be lenient, and we can say hello or good morning to them, because that's not classic Sheilat Shalom. And the only thing which is prohibited for all that time is classical Sheilat Shalom. So saying Shalom Aleichem to them, or I guess if you're in Israel and you speak in the vernacular, so saying Shalom, that would be prohibited. That's Sefer Gesha Chaim, I brought it on page 4, is a classic work on Hilchot Avelut, and he makes the observation that he brings down what I've just said about saying good morning, etc., etc. That goes on to say that, interestingly, saying Mazel Tov to an Avel is permitted. Sometimes it happens that you go to a Shiva, and the Avel, a child of theirs has just got engaged, or they've just had a grandchild, or something like that. You want to wish them Mazel Tov. Or perhaps they were ill. You want to wish them a Refuah Shleima. So it seems that that's permitted. It's a bit incongruous sometimes to say to an Avel both Hamaka Minachem, I extend my condolences, as well as Mazel Tov. But nevertheless, saying Mazel Tov doesn't fall into the category of Issa She'ilat Shalom, and therefore it's permissible. That's also sometimes, you have with the Avel, somebody very often, they'll get phone calls. That's people who can't come into the Shiva, they'll phone. And certainly, that's, you know, the moment when Shivas are compacted and you can't have so many people come to the Shiva, so a lot of people will visit on Zoom or by phone. The Avel will pick up the phone. So there's an Issa She'ilat Shalom. Is the Avel allowed to say hello when they answer the phone? So I think they probably are, in terms of saying hello is just on the phone. And perhaps this is one of the things that Rabbi Mervis was referring to. Unfortunately, though, saying hello when you answer the phone, that you're not really blessing the person, you're just sort of acknowledging that you're there. Maybe it would be better to pick up the phone and say, you know, Chaim Cohen on the line, or something like that, to identify yourself. But, you know, I don't think you need to be rude and just pick up the phone and say yes. That's a little bit rude to the people at the other end. I think you can say hello. If not, just identify yourself. I want to conclude this first share with a Mishnah at the end of the first parak of Masechet Tarnit, which I think sums up for us what Issa She'ilat Shalom is about on Tisha B'Av. So the Mishnayot in Masechet Tarnit, certainly the first two parakim, deal with Taniot, fast days that they used to have in Israel in antiquity when there was a drought. There wasn't rain, then this was a very serious matter. And remember, they didn't have reservoirs and storage like they do now. I mean, even now in Eretz Israel, the rainfall is very, very important. But certainly in olden times, it was even more important. If there was a drought, they would fast. And there was a whole series of 13 fasts that they would go through on Mondays and Thursdays for a number of weeks. And then what happened if they got to the end of that series of fasts and there was still no rain? Avru Eluv Lo Nanu. So these fast days had been and gone, and they still hadn't been answered. Mamatim b'masa umatan, uvavinyan uvintia, beirusin uvinsuin. So then that total sense of avelut takes over the people, and there's a reduction in business. People don't trade more than absolutely necessary. You don't build things, nice houses, you don't plant gardens. Beirusin uvinsuin, you don't get engaged or married. All these things to express a sense of avilut. Uvishelat shalom bein adam lachaviro. And you also don't greet people. Kivnei adam hanazufin lamakom. Because we want to feel, or they wanted to feel, like people who were distant, cast away by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has cast these people away. That's what it's all about, a sense of distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A sense of siluk Shekhinah. And that is what we should be feeling on Tisha B'Av. She'ilat Shalom. Shalom is one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one of the names of the Almighty. We don't use that on Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av is a day of galut, a day of exile, a day of siluk Shekhinah, a day when we commemorate the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. And the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash wasn't simply a day when bricks and mortar were burnt, but it's a day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed his presence from the Jewish people. And that is what we're mourning on Tisha B'Av. That's what we should be feeling. And when we have this Issa She'ilat Shalom, when we refrain from greeting others, it's not just because we don't want to engage with society. It's not just because we're going through the motions of Avelut, but it's also because we feel very far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that is an introductory shiur about Hilchot Avelut and how they apply to Tisha B'Av. I want now to start with the Kinot. I want us to begin with the first Kinah as it appears in the Kinot book, Shava Surumeni. This is on page 91 in the Rosenfeld edition, on page 152 in the Art Scroll, and on page 195 in the Koren. This is a kinah which was written by Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir, one of the most prolific paitanim, liturgical composers in Jewish history. Nobody's quite sure exactly when the Kalir lived, whether he was a Tana, whether he lived at the end of the Amoraitic period in the 6th or 7th century, or whether he lived as late as the 10th century. And this kinah that describes really the distance between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael, and expresses a sense of pain about the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Shavat, that everything has ceased, that everything has stopped. You look out and the skies are quiet, the roads are quiet, nothing's going on, that everything has come to a standstill. Life in some ways has come to a standstill. Certainly religious life has come to a standstill. Almost like you think back to the beginning of lockdown. You went outside and you had an apocalyptic sense. It was an apocalypse. Everything had stopped. And that's what it must have been like after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Interestingly, we're starting really in the middle of a kinah. This kinah is a continuation of the krovot, which some communities say in the repetition of the Amidah on Tisha B'Av. If you look in the Rosenfeld edition, the repetition of the Amidah has lots of extra insertions in each bracha, and those were composed by the Kalir to enhance even the tefillah on Tisha B'Av. We tend not to say them, but we continue after the Amidah with this this kinah. For those who don't have kinot books, a PDF of the kinah of the kinot is available on the United Synagogue website, www.theus.tv/kinot. You can download it. You can download it there together with the study pack. Shavat surumeni shmanu shmauni ochrai. Sechiru ma'os heshimuni bedrei chaverai, sakot ha-mishkan mischot diburai, sakot ha-vuvlugu giborai, safku chafu madu aivarai, kesila chol abirai. Nafla odenu betzul duchuya, eini chikta lachazon ben berechya, ad bilei gilgal chavuya, einim olelet bivanit nuchuya, asavni cham vayikra la bechia, v'naam al eile ani vochia. Al pnei ferat nu patsu chasideha, palgei suf sachra karu sodeha, pachad chet shilo takaf sodeha, patsu chazireya raye chasideha, Patsu maser vanidilini deha, persatiom biadeha, al hartzion sadu shone medanai, safu al roshi zedonai, sam tubanov lamod zedonai, sodnat sarta lore medanai, saaka mi bime bendinai, tzadiku adonai, ata kalim hichbadata omed ye ermune, Kerav tabo elai vayachari muni, kolila shmiya barav higri muni, karati lios vegivon gam heimzer muni, kumi afori batel heri muni, karati lam ahavai heimari muni. Lama ruach apenu la tevach shamaru, raita ki chetanor orenu chamaru, raita ki amal vachas bivuyach, Gamaru, Rafta biad yecheskel ninkom kamo maru, Ra'e benachi deimi goya maru, Ra'e Adonai kitzar li me'ai chamar maru. Hashiveini sisu shima l'goy tse'ani, Shiftam ramos chat tse'rai lahat ki'ani, Siftei mashorarai dabir damamu lahat bi'ani, Shamata kizmorot af hechin letatani, shachvu venadu chatzatz lahavriani, shamu kinenachaani, Ki tam chakta b'cheso panecha tashiv lahem gemul. Gaz chazot panecha. Tidof l'tzalmon yoat zeyral tzvunecha. Titein lahav havnot et seifan inecha. Tikra l'shakaram kos kamus b'finuyecha. Tavo chol ra'atam l'fanecha. Tavo el tzara shekilanu. Limvo chamaat b'chema nihalnu. Ad lach lach v'chavor higlanu. Zakeinu v'achor v'tula kvalanu. Ram, habetna amcha chulanu. Zechor Adonai mehayalanu. So we concluded that kina with the words Zechor Hashem mehayalanu, asking Hashem to remember what has befallen us. Indeed, this is a concluding line from the final paragraph of Megillat Eicha. And that's how the refrain that we have in the next kina. The next kina, Eicha Atzta, on page 159 in the Art Scroll, 217 in the Koren, page 93 in the Rosenfeld, is one of a number of kinot that we're going to be reading this morning, which is the compare and contrast mode. We're going to be comparing and contrasting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger with the Jewish people at the time of Churban HaBayit, when the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, with the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has shown us at other times during the course of Jewish history. The first phrase in each verse is very upbeat, and then the second phrase is much more downbeat. The other way around. We start off with saying how angry HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us in the first phrase, and then in the second phrase, and we say, you know, you could have remembered these things that happened in the past. In the first line, we talk about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been so angry with us. That's Eicha Atzta Ba'apecha. How HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry with his wrath, la'abed b'yad adumim emunecha, to wipe out through the Edomites, through the Romans, that emunecha, the people who believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'nozacharta brit bein b'tarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't remember the covenant that he made with Avraham Avinu, that he was always going to look after the Jewish people. So we say to Hashem, Zuchor Hashem, mehayalanu. Hashem, please remember what has befallen us. Eicha atzta v'abcha l'abed b'yad adomim amunecha, v'lo zacharta brit bein b'tzarim, asher b'irata livchunecha, uv'chein b'tinu, zuchor Adonai mehayalanu. Eicha g'arta b'garatcha, l'aglos b'yad ge'im gulecha, ולא זכרת דילוג דרך אשר דיברת לתגלך, וכן דיברנו, זכור אדוני מה היה לנו. איך הגת בהגיונך להדוף ביד הוללים המונך, ולא זכרת ויתוק ויוד וסת אשר ביידת לבודך, וכן וקוננו, זכור אדוני מה היה לנו. איך זנחת בזמך לזלזל ביד זרים עזבו לך, ולא זכרת חיתון חוקי חורב אשר חקקת לך מולך, ובכן חיווינו, זכור אדוני מה היה לנו. איך טרחת בתורכך לטרוף ביד טמאים צלעיך, ולא זכרת יקר ידידות יושר אשר ייחדת ליודעך, ובכן יללנו. זכור אדוני מהיה לנו. איך כיוונת בחסך לחלות ביד כושלים כרמך, ולא זכרת לא יזנח לעולם אשר לימדת ללקוחך, ובכן להגנו, זכור אדוני מהיה לנו. איך מיללת במעשך למחות ביד מונים ומנשאיך, ולא זכרת נשיאת נוצת נשר אשר נשאת לנשואיך, וכן נהינו, זכור אדוני מהיה לנו. איך עסקת בשרך לסגה ביד סייף עם זהדך, לא זכרת עוזת ידיים אשר יצאת לעבדך, וכן נהינו, זכור אדוני מהיה לנו. איך פצת בפחתך לפגה ביד פריצים פלאיך, Eicha sha'afta b'shavcha l'shalot b'yad shalolim shleimecha. V'lo zachat ha'kotokef tal t'lei to'ar, asher tikanta l'tmimecha v'chein ta'ananu. Zuchor Adonai me'hayalanu. Ta'ananu l'shpoch kamayim alma b'yom zen nishpinu famayim. Zochri b'yoti yoshevet b'shava b'Yerushalayim. Raganti vata de'ad chug shamayim. Many of the kinot do begin with that word Eicha, the opening words of the Megillah that we read last night. Chazal discuss what exactly does the word Eicha mean. One of the suggestions is Eicha. How can it be that things have become like this for the Jewish people? That once upon a time the temple stood in all its glory and now we sit lowly and miserable. That's these first kinot were all composed by the Kalir, and you can see that one leads into another. The end of the first kinah that we said concludes with Zuchor Hashem Mehayalanu, which was the refrain in the second kinah. This kinah that concludes with the words V'ata Adad Chukah Shamayim. Now we wish that we could soar up to heaven, and that's indeed how the next kinah begins, Adad Chuk Shamayim. We're actually going to skip a few and move on to page 104. That's in the Rosenfeld edition, page 188 in the Art Scroll, and page 301 in the Koren. That's, and this is again a sort of compare and contrast model. That, so we talk about Ohali, my tent. That's literally an ohel is a tent. This is a reference to the Beit HaMikdash. That's the Beit HaMikdash, the predecessor, precursor, if you like, of the Beit HaMikdash was the Mishkan, which was the Ohel Moed, which was a tent of meeting in the Midbar. So the Beit HaMikdash is referred to as Ohali, as my tent. That's, and we talk about that, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu desired the Beit HaMikdash. Adlo Vereshit, even before the world was created, part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's blueprint for creation was that there would be a Beit HaMikdash. We ask him, Lama, why is it that the Beit HaMikdash has been destroyed? And this is alternating verses. The first line of each verse that talks about the Beit HaMikdash, how important it is, that what opportunities it presented us with to engage with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we ask Hashem, why has this been taken away from us? Why has this relationship been terminated? Oholi Hashem ta'avta shel over adzul over reishit im kisei kavod l'tzarfo lama lanetzach shudad biad shodadim v'niyeta k'roe botaya v'ra'ashta v'raganta v'ad malifo. Oholi Asher komamta leitanei olam becherdaat mieifo lama lanetzach tzumat v'yad sarim v'niyeta kitzipo bodeit al gag mar tzoreach mel didifo. Oholi Asher patzal emano letzir v'ata modim adipo lama lanetzach urar b'yad arelim v'niyeta kesonei v'tzar v'ye ivui moshav po. Oholi Asher nachita ba'ananei hod, let Asher yishno fo ve'enenu po. Lama lanetzach mu'as b'yad mordim v'niyeta k'lo yuchal hoshia. Malachafo, malich lechafo. Oholi Asher konamta machon l'shivtcha l'chofeit b'chupo. Lama lanetzach yu'a b'yad yihirim v'niyeta k'tas b'chalal ve'enod v'navi v'niyamta ha'in po. Oholi Asher chanita me'az b'ta'av mipo mipo Lamala netzach shenach biyad zayreim v'niyetza kevatik yotzei chutza v'lo afar po. Oholia sheikhanza lahashlich po lefanecha goral po. Lamala netzach tocha biyad zomim v'niyetza kiger ba'aretz v'namza kilona sovad po ofo. Oholia sher ba'avon bitzi chashku kechok v'inish po. Lamala netzach upal biyad achirim v'niyetza korech b'malon. ועוד מלחפו. אחור הקדם מפה מפה, לכל דובדו נודע קצפו וחופו. אל מר אם מכל עום שעת עלי כפו, זאת לוי עליל כפית חקוק בכפו. ריפיתי בטוחה כי רגע בא פה, ועד עתה איכה יאיב בא פה. We're going to go on in a moment to one of the most descriptive kinot about the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, the kinah Zuchor Asher Asa Tzar Bifnim, the kinah which is based on the Gemara Masechet Gittin, describing how Titus came into the Beit HaMikdash and right into the Holy of Holies and defiled the Kodesh Kodashim. We'll talk about how that happened in a few moments' time. That's in the Art Scroll on page 226, the Koren 361, and the Rosenfeld on page 111. But before we do that, I want to spend a little bit of time discussing and considering why the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. That descriptive kinah about what happened, but before we discuss what happened, let's consider a little bit why it happened. And a number of sources in Chazal address this question. I want to look at a famous Gemara in Masechet Yoma, that's in the first chapter of Masechet Yoma, which discusses gives one explanation of why the Batei Mikdash were destroyed. So the Gemara says, we're on page 5 in the handouts. The Gemara says, Mikdash Rishon Mipnei Macharev. Why was the first Beit HaMikdash destroyed? Mipnei Gimel Dvarim Shayubo. Primarily because of three sins which were rampant at that time. Avodah Zarah, idolatry, v'gilui arayot, and sexual licentiousness, u'shfichut damim, and murder. It seems like at the time of the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, every moral aspect of society had fallen apart. There was idolatry, there was sexual wantonness, and there was rampant murder, killing people. It's discussed exactly what it means by murder. Does it just mean that this was the centre of gun crime, as it were, for the world? Or perhaps it means that just people were putting other people to death because they felt that these people were a harm to society, they didn't like a person. It wasn't just they were wantonly murdering people, but they were just going around killing people unnecessarily. That a person broke into your house, a person was rude to you, a person sat in your seat in shul, whatever it was, instead of dealing with the issue, you killed them instead. And the Gemara then goes on to bring proof texts for how we know that these three sins were wanton and rampant. These, of course, are the three cardinal sins. And then the Gemara says at the end of the passage, "Al Hamikdash Sheni, time of the second Beit Hamikdash, it was different." Shayu Oskim B'Torah V'Mitzvot Gemilut Chasadim. In actual fact, they were quite nice people. They were frum. There are other sources which discuss to what degree that was true, but certainly this Gemara is saying that their religious integrity was intact. They were Oskim B'Torah V'Mitzvot. They were nice to other people. They had a Bikul Cholim society, they had welfare rotas, they had meal rotas, they did shiva visits, they had gemach loan funds, all these sorts of things. It was a good society. So Mipnei Me'acharev, they were religious and they were nice. Why was it destroyed? Mipnei Shaita Bo Sinat Chinam. Because there was Sinat Chinam. There was causeless, baseless hatred. Lamedchan, this teaches us, Sheshkula Sinat Chinam Kineged Shalosh Aveirot, that Sinat Chinam, baseless hatred, is as grievous as the three cardinal sins of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayot, Shfichut Damin. Three cardinal sins of idolatry, sexual immorality, and bloodshed. So we're going to discuss in a few moments' time exactly what the definition is of Sinat Chinam, what motivates Sinat Chinam, what is Sinat Chinam, how we should understand this concept of causeless and baseless hatred. I want to bring to your attention though a question asked by the Pnei Yehoshua, Rav Yehoshua Falk, that's a Talmudist and Halachist who lived in the 18th century, very well known for his commentary, Pnei Yehoshua on Shas. And he raises the problem that the Gemara in Bava Metziah that says that in actual fact, the reason why Yerushalayim was destroyed in the time of the second Beit HaMikdash was because Shedanu bo din Torah, because they applied Torah law. Now, it doesn't mean to say that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed because they were observing the Torah. Observing the Torah is a good thing. Here we're talking about in civil cases where a person brought another person to Beit Din, and they followed the letter of the law. So we might well ask, what's wrong with getting out Shulchan Aruch and finding out who's right and who's wrong and who owes who how much money? If a person has wronged me, or I believe a person has wronged me, you know, that's what Shulchan Aruch is for. Let me take him to the Beit Din and let me find out, we'll present the case to the Dayanim. And the Dayanim will look in Shulchan Aruch and see who's liable to who, how much, and they'll tell us what to do. Why is that such a terrible thing? So what it really means is there were other alternatives. There's always opportunities of lifnim mishurat hadin. There's always opportunities of some sort of pshara, some sort of compromise, because life isn't always so linear that he's the baddie and he's the goodie. It's sometimes a bit more complex. As I say in some context, there's three sides to every story: his, hers, and the truth. And the truth is often somewhere in the middle. And even with these cases, we should try to seek a peaceful balance, if not in the middle, but at least not right at either extreme. And very often, there is that middle ground which could be achieved. That's recognizing that things aren't just absolutely clear-cut, but they didn't want to do that. In the times of the second Beit HaMikdash, they wanted to say, I am right, and he or she is wrong. I am correct, and that person is wicked. Rather than saying that I'm 90% correct, and that person is 10% correct, they weren't willing to do that. In any event, Bnei Yehoshua wants to know how these two texts can be reconciled. Here we're saying it's because of Sinat Chinam. And in the Gemara in Bava Metziah, we're saying it's because Torah, that they refused to compromise. So he says, of course, the answer is that Tahaba HaTalia, that in actual fact the two are related to each other. Lama lo asu lifnim mishurat hadin? Why weren't they willing to reach some point of compromise? Mipnei Sinat Chinam, that's because of Sinat Chinam, because they hated each other. They couldn't see any way to reach some point of compromise. Everything was absolutely linear. That's I'm right and he's wrong. There's no point of compromise along the way. And that is what Sinat Chinam is. We're going to see that it's an inability to see the good in others. In any event, the Maharal of Prague in Netzach Yisrael addresses the question that, you know, why is Sinat Chinam such a terrible thing? We understand that it goes against the Torah. Torah says, Lo tisnat achicha bilvavecha. You shouldn't unnecessarily hate a person. But the Torah tells me that there are lots of things which are prohibited. It's prohibited to eat chazer treif. It's prohibited to carry on Shabbat if there's no Eruv. It's prohibited to speak Lashon Hara. It's lots of things are prohibited. Why specifically is the prohibition or the Isra of Sinat Chinam so grievous that that's why the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed? How is it comparable in any way to the three cardinal sins which caused the downfall of the first Beit HaMikdash? How is Sinat Chinam comparable to those three cardinal sins? That's the question that the Maharal asks. V'yishlacha lishol, lama charev Beit HaMikdash rishon ba'avon elu avonot? How is it that the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed because of these three cardinal sins? V'ilu mikdash sheni bishvil sinat chinam, the second Beit HaMikdash was only destroyed because of sinat chinam. That's because of baseless hatred. That, and if we skip a few lines to the underlined bit, v'apeirusha shehu lefi pshuto. The straightforward answer is as follows. Ki mikdash rishon hayash shkina beinehem. There was something unique about the first Beit HaMikdash. In the terms of the first Beit HaMikdash, the Shekhinah, the divine presence, was there. People could feel it when they went into the Beit HaMikdash. People were aware of it, that the Aaron was there in the Kodesh HaKodashim. There was an awareness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bichvodo V'Atzmo himself was present. V'zeu Malat Beit HaMikdash HaRishon. And this was the uniqueness and the superiority of the first Beit HaMikdash. Shayam Yuchad Mala, because it was exalted in such a way, Shaitash Chinash Shorabo, that the Hashem's divine presence was there. Olaficha Chulban Shelo, Kashelo Hayarau Shetishra Shchina. Therefore, we understand that Beit HaMikdash was destroyed when it was no longer appropriate for the Shchina to reside there. Because the first Beit HaMikdash was primarily Machon Leshivtacha. It was a place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reside. It was a home for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina. And if the Beit HaMikdash could no longer host HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if it could no longer tolerate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu could no longer tolerate being there, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to leave. It was no longer a place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Behind Kishetimu et Beit HaMikdash, Vein Hashem Yivarach Shoreh B'Tok Tumatam. When they